today on Real Radio.
And today, as a Christian, nuclear power and solar power and whatever power that there is available in our world of earthly physics does not translate into our Christianity. We, you and I, are to be representing a power that the world cannot understand.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called In Hot Pursuit, begins in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, with verses 10 and 11. To be a heaven-bound Christian means to be in hot pursuit of God, and to know Him and the power of His resurrection, which transcends even a nuclear explosion. Pursuits in this life matter, but pursuing power, technology, and achievements doesn't really lead us any closer to God. Christianity is defined by having a relationship with a loving God. Paul wrote these verses as both a diary and a prayer, a personal quest of knowing God and to be in the fellowship of His sufferings. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that the experience of learning God's very personality made Paul a very different man. It goes beyond the doctrine of salvation. There's no greater meaning or purpose in life. For now, God became Paul's very existence. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
We're looking at a message entitled, In Hot Pursuit. Can you write that down, In Hot Pursuit? That's the title because that is the theme of these few verses. It's carried on in the following verses to come in the next few weeks. But in hot pursuit, when you think of those words, in hot pursuit, you're probably thinking of a police chase or something like that. Well, in hot pursuit, as we'll look at it this morning, is applying to the fact that as believers, one of the very characteristics of being a real Christian, a heaven-bound Christian, is that there is profound evidence in our lives, and it's recognizable by you personally about you, and it's recognizable by me personally about me, that we are, in fact, in hot pursuit of God. I don't know if you remember this or not. I don't remember it. I was not yet born, but I read this week, and so I thought I'd incorporate it into our introduction this morning. It was way back on October 4th, 1957, when the United States was shocked to learn that the Soviet Union had launched the first satellite into space. Then President Eisenhower called for an emergency cabinet meeting, and the results were this, that America would embark upon and invest everything needed into a scientific discovery to increase education and bring about a doubling down of our efforts to enhance U.S. technologies because we had fallen behind to the Russians. The United States launched a pursuit of knowledge that led to the United States becoming the sole global power of its day. But that explosion, listen to this, of prosperity and of technology and power did nothing to affect the culture and the morality of the nation. It certainly did not lead to a closer relationship between Americans and their God. Why? Because Americans began to lean upon their achievements. They began to lean upon the power that we had initiated in the development of the nuclear bomb back in World War II, and having become lackadaisical about that, the Russians snuck ahead of us and launched the first satellite, and then a couple of years later, the first man into space. And America was fearful. Some of us grew up in that era where we had the duck and cover drills and the paint your windows white from a nuclear blast. We would have alarms go off in our elementary schools, some of you remember, and you would go under your desk and cover your head, and they would tell us, don't look out the window so you can survive a nuclear blast. Of course, they told us to do that just to give us something to do while we are vaporized. Because going under your desk cannot protect you from a nuclear explosion. I grew up in San Diego and in Orange County, and for some of you in the Orange County area, I remember driving through areas of what I think is today's Cerritos, and every so often they would have rockets, missiles that would come up out of the ground, and you would see the Navy cleaning and hosing them down, and the doors would open up, and they would tuck them back away and put them underground. You grew up looking at that stuff. There was this great fear of power being exchanged, mutually assured destruction, and the pursuit of power mattered. And today, as a Christian, nuclear power and solar power and whatever power that there is available in our world of earthly physics does not translate into our Christianity. We, you and I, are to be representing a power that the world cannot understand. It is a power, listen, it is a power that transcends a nuclear explosion. It is greater than any bomb. It is greater than any war. It is a supernatural spiritual power that transforms a human life, its mind, its thinking, and its eternal destination. No war can do that. Our pursuits matter. Paul says in verse 10 of Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. In your margins or in your note-taking, just put, this is deep theology. Christianity, thank God, can be identified as a relationship. No matter what your worldview is or your religious views are this morning, no matter who you may be, this you must understand, be educated about this. Christianity, by its actual definition, is not a religion. CNN, sociologist, religionist, Fox News clumps it into the bucket of world religions. Christianity is not a religion. It is the only faith-based system that demands relationship, transcending religion, but demanding relationship. And why is that the case? Because Jesus Christ came for you and I to experience, according to the Bible's own words, a literal personal relationship with the manifest God, that God revealed himself to mankind. And as we look to these verses 10 and 11, it's actually, as some commentators have noted, Paul's diary. It's both a diary and a prayer. It sums up his entire passion of his life, what he wants from life, what he's looking for. And as I studied for this, I wrote this down on my notes, a bit of uneasiness came upon my soul. That the Apostle Paul, who you and I would love to emulate, who we've read so much about in the Bible, the Apostle introduces you and I to a statement of his and a way of living that he admits that everything that he's experienced in life to that very moment matters nothing to him but the person of Jesus. And when you meditate and marinate on that for a moment, you begin to realize, how close am I really to Jesus Christ? This message today is no doubt for the believer. If you're not a believer today, then listen carefully and hold us all accountable. Maybe today you'll find out that there's a great emptiness and void in your own life, and you need him. In Hot Pursuit, J.A. Moyer writes in his book, nothing can be truly known unless the reality of it is being lived out in a daily life. I want to repeat that. Nothing can be truly known unless the reality of it is being lived out in a daily life. That's a great word. Are you a Christian? Am I a Christian? Is my pursuit of God real? Does it really matter to me? Is God ever before me, before us, on a moment-by-moment basis? Is that our reality? I would like to change his words a little bit and put it this way. Jesus Christ cannot be truly known unless the reality of him is being lived out in daily life. The reality of Jesus. And so we look at this morning. I cannot promise you how far we'll go. But in hot pursuit, are you and I, as we judge ourselves this morning as Christians, in hot pursuit of God in my life, in our lives? Number one is found in the opening part of verse 10. And it's this. Getting as close as you can. Will you write that down? If I'm in hot pursuit of God, this question, this observation should be evident in my life to some degree. Am I getting as close as I can to God? Only you can answer that question. So number one, it's personal. It means that it is a personal thing to be in pursuit of God. Just this quest, this beginning, begins to blow past the mundane, boring, liturgical, legalistic steps of religion. Oh, do this, do that, check the box, stand up, sit down, bow down. It leaves those things in the dust. It leaves the things in the dust like, I should pray, versus I get to pray. It should leave in the dust the things where I have to read my Bible versus I need to read my Bible. In the life of the true believer, there's coursing through his or her veins the chemistry of heaven. And that only God's infusing of life can satisfy us. And it all begins with this personal statement of Paul's. Look at it with me. That I may. Will you circle the word there, I? That I. He says I. Oh, this is my prayer. Paul, are you serious? You are the Apostle Paul. And you are praying that I may know him? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm convicted immediately out of the gate. I would say today in my human wisdom, if Paul doesn't know him, then how can I know him? Didn't Paul see him in the heavens? Didn't Paul meet him on the Damascus Road? Didn't Paul experience being tutored by Jesus in the deserts of Arabia? Didn't Jesus appear to Paul upon that ship that was bound for destruction in the Mediterranean? And didn't Jesus and the angel of the Lord appear to him in Corinth? Absolutely. And Paul says, that I may know him? Where does that put me? And I could immediately be swallowed up with defeat if I were to leave at this moment. But the truth of the matter is, it's going to be very encouraging that I may. This is beyond the doctrine of salvation. Please write this down. We are leaving salvation behind. His statement is saying, that's all done. Listen, with all due respect, please allow me to put it to you graphically. It would be this way. Paul says, I am not talking about salvation, the opportunity of salvation, the doctrine of salvation. That is ancient history. That is done with. I'm moving on. Those are things from the beginning. Those are things at the start. We would say, come to Christ. We saw the announcement by Greg Laurie. Come to the Harvest Crusade. Why would you go to the Harvest Crusade? You know, one of Greg's policies or hopes is that you wouldn't go as a believer, but that you would do what? Take someone who's not a believer. Why? Because it's all about salvation. You don't go to the Harvest Crusade for a Bible study to grow deeper with Jesus, though the Word of God will go forth. Don't get me wrong. You take somebody there for them to be introduced to Jesus, but then what? What now? As a Christian, listen, you may today say, and I hope it's not anyone in this church would say this. I'm just being sarcastic right now. If you've been a Christian for 30 years, do you have 30 plus years of experience with Jesus? Or do you have 1 year of experience with Jesus that just repeats every year for 30 years? Are you still shallow? You're saved, but you haven't grown? The Apostle Paul would say, away with that. Salvation is settled. Let's get up and go. Salvation is settled. Now what? And that now makes more sense regarding this prayer, that I may. It is a passionate declaration that I'm moving on beyond the doctrine of salvation, and I want to be discipled by none other than Jesus Christ himself by the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? That I may know God. It's absolutely enlightening. Notice with me that the soul of the apostle is in hot pursuit of God. That's where I got the title, by the way, of the message. When you begin to unpack Paul's desire, you'll often come across the word, he was in pursuit of God. And we know that from what he is about to say regarding these things, that there is no greater meaning or purpose in his life than that God would be Paul's very existence. And this is convicting to me. Is the very existence of God and drawing closer to him your reason for living? You know, Jack, I thought my reason for living was paying taxes. No, I mean, go ahead and pay taxes, but that's not your reason for living. I know the government thinks that's your reason for existence, but it's not. Well, isn't it to have a family and to propagate? No, actually, no. No. Above it all, it is to know God. And to not know about God. The last thing the church needs is more theologians. What the church needs is more people who've experienced the person of Christ. Listen to the psalmist. If you think this is only a Paul thing or a New Testament thing, listen to the psalmist. Listen to David. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I, notice this, me, my soul, my spirit, when shall I, the totality of my person, come and appear before God? The psalmist is saying, 3,000 years ago, oh God, my soul thirsts for you. This is the believer. Listen, Christian, I'm being convicted. I hope you are too. The Lord laid on my heart this week in preparation, Jack. He has to say that twice because I'm busy. It's biblical, you know. Abraham. Peter. Samuel, Samuel. When you're busy, God will always say, Jack, Jack. Yes, Lord. You're studying about Paul's heart being in hot pursuit of mine. You're looking at the psalmist whose heart was in hot pursuit of mine. Jack, are you in hot pursuit of me? Jack, was there ever a time when you spent more sweet moments with me? Not to spend time with me? Not to put your notch in the belt and say, I spent an hour with God? Or I read a Christian book? Or I read this many chapters of the Bible? No, just to be with me. Listen, you may find this sounding as heresy. Listen carefully. There are times when God will say to you, put down everything. Put down your Bible. Put down your Christian music. Come into the closet, shut the door, and be alone with me. Lehman Strauss writes, there is nothing shallow or superficial about the man who has set such knowledge as his goal in life. Knowledge about Christ received from reading a book or listening to a sermon could not satisfy a man in search of such a holy quest. Conformity to Christ is his goal, and he refuses to stop short of it, says Strauss. That's a great word. It means that it's personal. Is Jesus Christ, is God truly personal in your life like any other personal relationship would be? It means that the very personal pursuit is something that happened with Paul at his conversion, and it has continued to, I'll use the word snowball. Wouldn't you think after raising so many churches throughout Europe, Paul, seeing so many miracles, being Paul the apostle, wouldn't you think that he'd be tempted to kind of settle back and have a special parking place for his donkey? He's got an entourage of people. He's Paul. There's a banner, you know, in front before he shows up. Paul's coming to town, you know. Do you think that there's a temptation, at least in the human side, I think it's true for all of us, to kind of coast now that you've, what, arrived? And ladies and gentlemen, Paul is teaching us you cannot arrive as a Christian. You will not arrive until you arrive in heaven. The greatest promotion is not school. It's not at the job site. The greatest promotion is when you drop dead. The greatest promotion is if the Lord should come back today. That's the greatest promotion. That's when we arrive. That's when it's over. It's personal. This personal pursuit, it's hot on his heart. Now, I'm going to say this. Maybe God wants it to be said. I pray that he does. It's my observation, and I've heard people say things, not to my face and not even here, but I've seen some things that people have sent me online. And I wrote this down, and I want you to put this in contrast with Paul's pursuit for God, that I may, okay? Do you kind of get the feeling that ain't no one going to stop Paul from his pursuit? Do you kind of get the feeling that what he's saying and what he's about to say is extremely to the point of giving up his own life important to him? Listen, I'm going somewhere with this. Do you think he needs anyone to hold his hand? And yet, you can go online today, and there are websites where people say these things. I wrote them down. I don't go to church anymore because the people there have hurt my feelings. Next quote. The church lost me, so I'm going to tell others about it. That's called gossip, by the way. The church lost me, they said online. Another one said, somebody wrote a book, and that guy said that the Bible's wrong about many things. The church doesn't relate to me and my needs. Do you know what the Apostle Paul would do with that kind of a so-called Christian today? He would say, that I may. He would look to anyone, including myself, including you. Oh, you know what? Really, this is what we're saying. It's all about me. It's all about my feelings. It's all about what God can do for me. It's all about what makes me tick. It's all about my desires. And Paul is going to say, no, it's not. It's all about you knowing God. And the so-called church today is sick with this poison of self-centeredness. Grievances, gospel, gossip, I would call it. griping, complaining. Paul, you know what he would do? He'd be like a water off a duck's back. He wouldn't even, he's like, whatever. You guys want to go over here and die in the corner? Go ahead. That I made. You hear him? Which brings us to this. It's intimate, very intimate. And hot pursuit, that is getting close as I can, means that it is intimate. And this is amazing, that I may know him. Circle the word know, that I may know him. It's the Greek word know to this in absolute terms. Now, please listen. It means absolute terms, that I may know him in an absolute way. The word means by expression, by intimacy, to know by the highest form possible. The word means to know with certain familiarity. Watch this. The word in Hebrew appears in Genesis 4:1. Now Adam knew his wife, and she bore children. That's the word. You can't get a closer word. The Christian is to know God in such a way that that knowledge and that experience of knowing the Lord so transcends theology that the only thing that we can share with it is that the Bible speaks of it as being intercourse between a man and a woman. You can't get closer than that. There's nothing on earth closer than that. It is the absolute ultimate manifestation of love and unity, that. And the Bible says that I'm to know God. I'm to have him so inside of me and I inside of him where there's no separation, nothing can separate us. What God has brought together, let no man separate. And I apply that to the Christian and his God. Amen. Oh, I'm to know him like that. My heart is to beat hot for a closer relationship with God. The Hebrew word is yada, beautiful word, yada, Y-A-D-A. It means to know, listen to this, for we're all adults in here right now, right? There's no kids in here. Okay, put two and two together. I just mentioned the word Adam and Eve. I just mentioned the word as close as you can be possibly. The word yada, that Adam yada, it means to know face to face. It means to come together face to face. Listen to this. This is in your Bible. To behold fully, to see all with full vision. Nothing's hidden. Imagine. Think of Adam and Eve, and think of God's invitation to have you divorce yourself from religion and know him relationally. It means with observation, care, to recognize. The word actually means to study by recognition God, to have the understanding of another. Implying, the word implies the discipline of, listen to this, this is amazing. I actually read this and it made me tear up, and that doesn't happen very often. The word implies, yada, that it is a discipline that is often employed by a blind person that we so study, examine, listen, trace with the hands the personality of another. How is a blind person to see another person? This is amazing, Christian. Listen, if we don't get any further today, we've got to get this. How is the Christian to relate to his God? Paul says, well, you know what? Like the deer pants after water, if the deer doesn't get any water, it's going to die. And that's how your soul is to pant after God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called In Hot Pursuit. Thanks for listening today, and our hope is that you don't lean on what was or what is, but to be in constant pursuit of Jesus Christ. Today was day one of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Did you know that this ministry really is completely backed by you, our listening audience? Thank you so much for your continued support. Now, if you'd like to donate to this ministry, you can do it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like, you can download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. There is a simple, easy way on the app to donate to this ministry. Just to remind you once again, we are completely backed by you, our listeners. Thanks for your continued support. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.